Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and I'm shocked. I get to say hi to my wife so she can delete this on her phone again, as seems to be normal, but apparently only periodically. You know, it's been 10 years, and there's, of course, the command of God, but obviously that doesn't seem to matter in North Carolina. But I'm fond of her. Yes, she's ripped my heart apart. But there's no one else I think of. She's the only one. And I see, the concern I have is if she were to say, all right, I'm willing to reconcile, the hurdles that have to be crossed are huge for both her and me. I think it'd be a lot easier for me because, but for her. So, you know, the issue I still have is what do I do to make it easier for her to say, okay, I'm going to reconcile with the man I committed my life to. How do you do that? Because there's obviously a lot of baggage. But anyway, I'd like to know how to do that. And of course, you know, dialogue would help on this, but I said yesterday how I'm so pleased that everything seems to be in place, that I could work well, and I worked well this morning. And the tools, the communications part made tremendous progress this morning, and I'm really pleased with what happened. But the afternoon came, and I got a little windy, and I lost power briefly, but I lost power, and some of my machines are on a battery backup. This one is not. It's an older machine. It's 9 years old, and I had a battery on it, but it started to smell, you know, and I really wonder if there's something about me that I'm sensitive to that, because I've gotten rid of several devices when the battery apparently leaks. It gives me headaches, and it's kind of like, I don't want this. So I've gotten rid of several items that would do that. So this particular unit does not have a battery backup, and when the power went out, I lost it. However, when the power came back on, it said hi, but it didn't start. And so suddenly my computer didn't work, and it's kind of like, ah! However, because of the fact it's an old machine and it has indicated already, you know, hard drive error. So I don't use it for anything besides the tool as remote desktop and also to record. But that caused me a little bit of grief. And for some reason, I got out my brand new notebook and started trying to fire that up to maybe use that in place of this. And then suddenly it came up. I just turned over and it's kind of like, then fired up. Kind of like, so, all right. So I don't know what's going on. And I want to get new computers, but I have to be careful. Anyway, one other thing. Had a dialogue today. And, you know, it was... It was interesting because there was a dialogue on the Sabbath. Because, you know, there is a lot of question of, you know, especially here in Cleveland, we have a number of groups that they take their day of rest on Saturday instead of Sunday. And there is the argument of starting at midnight or starting at sundown. You know, so these are interesting discussions. I don't think there's a test on this. Yes, you've done well, and you're part of the elect. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. No, I don't think it's a problem. You know, because there is the Romans 14, one person's deems one day greater than another, and those kind of things, and some all the same. Then there's the idea of they met on the first day of the week kind of stuff in, was that Acts? But the issue I find so fascinating is when your heart says, I want to do it this way, I am convinced, well, it's the Romans 14. If your conscience says, do it this way, you should do it that way. I don't have a problem with Saturday or Sunday. I think the command is to take a day of rest. For 6 days of the Lord, do the creation. And the seventh day he rested. But can you rest on Sunday instead of Saturday? Can you rest from midnight to midnight versus sundown to sundown? I think those options are on the table. I have no problem if somebody wants to be dogmatic about it or somebody wants to be more flexible. I have found, not because of a theological insight, but a practicality insight, in the sense that I find that Saturday is the day that I end up with more interactions with people. So I've made it a point to say, on Saturday, I'm going to leave that time open, so when those interactions occur, I have absolutely no pressure to say, I got to go get some work done. No, I just, Saturday, it's my day of rest. And it's not because I'm at an institution, but I am face to face with somebody. And instead of saying, okay, I've spent 5-10 minutes here, but I got to get back to work, we spend 3 hours, fine. And it's 3 hours of intensity. Intensity in the sense that it invests in the person, as opposed to intensity in the sense of trying to get work done. But I don't think there's a test that you have to meet on this. You know, and I do think, you know, you need to be convinced in your own mind. It's when you say, I'm convinced, but I'm going to do it the other way, there's the problem. But it's just the willingness to engage and the willingness to say, well, I was doing it this way, now I think I need to do it that way. I think that's commendable. And of course, the other thing is, well, think that maybe Sunday is wrong and the Saturday is right. But then, of course, at the institution, because the party I engaged today on this is, oh, okay, where's the verse in the Bible where you're supposed to meet at an institution? And the acknowledgement is, yeah, you're there. It's not there. So it's an interesting issue, but it is a secondary issue, you know, because what are the primary issues? Love the Lord, love your neighbor. And again, I do think it needs to be emphasized. You know, the love of the Lord, it is, you know, the Deuteronomy 6. Did not come prepared. Oh, terrible. It starts with, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's a big, you know, it's the Shema, okay, Shema Israel. It is interesting in that, what is he saying? He wants you to hear, to listen. The word Shema, I'm curious now, the Hebrew definition to hear, to listen to obey. It's not hear me in just the hear the sound of my voice, but hear me and obey me. I'm curious. If we look at the definition in the Septuagint, it's to be endowed with the facility of hearing, not deaf, to hear something, to understand, to get, to comprehend, to give ear to perceive. So it does not have that obey. I don't see it in there. So that's interesting. But then, of course, the other issue is, hear, O Israel. Who's Israel? Again, Israel has clearly multiple meanings in the Bible. Jacob was renamed to Israel, Genesis 32. His descendants are called Israel. The northern kingdom is called Israel. And I will contend, Romans 9:6 makes it clear, not all who are descendant of Israel are Israel. Not all who are descendant of Jacob are the elect. Yeah, I will contend that's what it's saying. And then, of course, there are people who are trying to use the country of Israel, which I would contend is just simply a name. It has nothing to do with what the Bible's talking about. But that'll get you in trouble in a lot of discussions. But either way, especially because the split, you know, Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, or Judea, that's where Jerusalem is, not Israel. So it's kind of like, well, you know, anyway, I find this fascinating. But so is he saying here to Israel as in here descendants of Jacob, or is he saying here elect? Listen to me. That's an interesting question, and I do not have the definitive answer. I think both are suggested. I would lean toward that he's talking here, O elect. And then, of course, you shall love, the imperative. It's a command. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your might. And, you know, the idea of, and your mind is a New Testament concept when it's put all together. However, and I don't remember where it is. You can find it in the Old Testament. I won't dwell on that one. The other thing is, of course, the Leviticus 19:18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And as I think it's vital to see, the reason we do it is you shall. Who's saying that? I am the Lord. The Lord is saying it. It's not the command of Moses. It's not the command of an authority, a man authority. It's the command of God. And, you know, the other thing I think is also important, you shall not take vengeance. You know, why is that important? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. He says that over and over again in the Old Testament and the New. So, of course, the verse before, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You know, and the reason frankly or rebuke in some translations and things of that nature, let's look. you shall hate your brother in your heart. You shall certainly reprove your fellow and do not permit sin on him. You shall not take vengeance nor watch the sons of your people, and you shall have love for your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh, the LSV. Anyway, so I think those are the important things. If I cannot get those right, not simply in my understanding of them, but my living them out. The idea of the Sabbath, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, is a non-issue. It really is a non-issue. If I can't love, it doesn't matter that I haven't killed anybody today. But the, you know, again, the reality, well, gee. If I can't love, what is the opposite of that? I'm hating. And then, well, at least he didn't kill somebody today. Again, 1 John 3:15, everyone who is hating his brother is a manslayer, and you have known that no manslayer has continuous life remaining in him. In this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. The ESV, everyone hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So it's kind of like, great, I understand the Sabbath question. I understand. I haven't killed anybody today. But if I'm not loving, then in reality I'm hating, and in reality I'm a murderer. So it really is, it's not my deeds in those particular things. Do you love? How do you love is really, a final thought, because it really sunk in with me, and I've expressed this before, early 80s in Orlando, Florida. I was meeting with a gentleman who worked for, did he work for? Yes, I think he did work for, there was Chuck E. Cheese and Pizza Time, whatever it was. They merged later. Anyway, I forget the names. Wow. Yeah, pizza something. Anyway, both had the same kind of similar idea. You know, they had the animated characters doing the music and serve pizza and have games. You know, they were similar things. They both did very well, and eventually they merged. The one was based out of Orlando, Florida, and they're the one that got bought up. But the gentleman who owned it made himself quite a lot of money. Been to his house once, nice house, but, you know. There was also the place, the facility, especially where they recorded the music. So I knew the musicians and things of that nature. And did some work with him, because his claim to fame was whack-a-mole was his invention, and somebody else took the idea and ran with it. So he kind of the idea was stolen. But that and he had some self-management issues, I think. So, but the point is, this one gentleman, I went to his home one evening, and his wife and son were there. We had some discussion about the computers to do some stuff, in the restaurant, and it was bedtime for his son, 4 or 6 years old or whatever, and he has he had some issues. He would be considered retarded, but came to see his dad to say goodnight. Came up to his dad, and here's a short kid. Here's dad, reaches his arms up to say goodnight. Dad reaches down, gives him a hug. Makes good sense. He turns to me. He has never seen me before in my life. Reaches up to me for a hug. What I saw in that is love. There was no barrier in him. He saw another person. A person! Wow! A person! Give me a hug. And I really thought, when I saw that, when I had the joy of embracing this young child, it was kind of like, this is what love is. It's not dramatic. It's not very complicated. It's not, doesn't take a lot of physical effort, whatnot. It's, hi, I want your presence. That was love. It sunk in. I mean, that's about 40 years ago. And I remember that moment when I saw love. And I want to reflect that. Not by saying, well, the Greek means this, and the context means such and such. Or I can tell you the history of, this particular author said this about this, about this. You know, can I give you a hug? Can I really, truly enjoy being with you? That's love. That's why the obvious example, when I see Miss Lillian look at me, hi, John! That's love. Anyway, I would also desire to do the same with my wife. I would embrace her and reconcile her with her without hesitation if the barriers were removed. I don't have the barriers. My lady, my wife, drop the barriers, please. I love you and I want you back.